Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear brothers, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the parables about the first Khalif of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Before that, let's first and foremost recite Salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the beautiful hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. Without further ado, let's recite together Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Brothers, with regards to the beautiful parables regarding Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the first Khalif of Islam, they are so many and they are filled with wisdom and nasiha and lessons for us, inshallah azza wa jal, as the life of all the Sahaba is a means of inspiration for all of us. They are our beacon of guidance. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that my Sahaba are like the guiding stars. If you follow any one of them, you will be guided. And subhanallah, since our today's silsila is about Islamic parables and we are discussing the parables related to the first Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is mentioned regarding him that before the son of Islam rose during the era of ignorance, a pious businessman, he went to Syria to conduct business. Whilst there, he had a dream which he relayed to a monk by the name of Bahira. The monk asked, "Where have you come from?" To which the businessman replied, "I have come from Makkah." He then asked, "Which tribe do you belong to?" He said, "I belong to the tribe of Quraysh." He asked, "What do you do?" He said, "I am a businessman." The monk began to say that if Allah Almighty actualizes your dream, He will send a prophet to your nation. You will be His wazir during his life and his successor after his passing away. Subhanallah. The pious businessman did not inform anyone about his dream and its interpretation. When the son of Islam rose and the seal of prophethood sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced his prophethood, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself mentioned the incident of that dream that the businessman saw in Syria and its interpretation as a proof. Upon hearing which, the pious businessman, he embraced the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst kissing his blessed forehead, and he said, "I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides Allah." He read the kalima shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and I also bear witness that you are a true messenger of Allah. Subhanallah. The pious trader, he said that on that day, no one in the whole of Makkah was more pleased with me embracing Islam than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear brothers, do you know who that pious businessman was? He was the first Khalifa of the Muslims, the most pious, the paradise dweller, son of a paradise dweller, the companion, son of a companion, the companion in the cave and the shrine, and the first Muslim man, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah, he was the first one to have accepted the da'wah of Islam by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among the freed men. But it is mentioned in Subulul Huda wa Rashad that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a dream that a moon had descended in Makkah. Suddenly, the moon split and its fragments, they entered every house of Makkah. Then the pieces of the moon reassembled together and entered his lap. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu inquired about the interpretation of this dream, and it was said to him, "You'll be the most fortunate one from the followers of the awaited final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and all the people." Thus, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he announced his prophethood and he invited Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu towards Islam, he embraced Islam and faith instantly without any delay or hesitation. May Allah Almighty have mercy upon him, and may we be forgiven without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bijahi Nabiyyil Ameen. SubhanAllah, there are such wonderful and lovely parables related to the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the first Khalifa of Islam. It is mentioned regarding him that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to engage in business, as we learned previously. And what sort of business would he do? He was a cloth merchant. He would sell garments, and through this trade, through the business of garment that he had, he would support and provide for his family. Even after the caliphate was bestowed upon him, he continued to manage his household expenses from his trade. And on the morning after becoming Khalif, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went out towards the marketplace with clothes in his hand. On the way, he met Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, "Now that the responsibility of Khilafah has come upon you, how will you be able to carry out the duties of Khilafah together with your occupation, with your trade? It will become too much." And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, "Then what will be the means of livelihood for my family if I don't conduct my business?" Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "That will be arranged by the state." Let's go to Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who will fix an allowance for you. Accordingly, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he set an allowance for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu for his family's provision, and it was equal to an average man provision and his clothing among the Muhajirun. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah, such simple life. A normal allowance that it is for every general Muhajir that is there, SubhanAllah. So Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to visit after that. He used to visit an elderly and blind woman living on the outskirts of Madina Munawwara, taking care of her needs, bringing water for her and performing other chores for her. After some time, he noticed that someone else was arriving before him and completing all the work before Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu could get there. So he tried repeatedly to reach earlier, but he could not succeed. Once he waited in hiding to see who it was that used to get there before Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and used to clean up and do all the household chores for this elderly woman. He then saw that it was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu who had been coming before him and taking care of all her needs. At that time, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had already become a Khalifa. SubhanAllah. Despite his duties, he would make time for the underprivileged and troubled Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was the livelihood. Very simple, and SubhanAllah, just like an average family. Simple livelihood, and the greatest, SubhanAllah, ruler of the Islamic State among the Khulafa, the first Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and his simple lifestyle that he remained upon it throughout his life. He had maintained the simple lifestyle for the rest of his life, and at the time of his passing, all that remained with him was a she-camel whose milk he used to drink, a bowl from which he ate, and a worn-out cloak that he would wear as a covering to cover his body. SubhanAllah. These three things. Regarding these, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she reports, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha is the beloved daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Ummul Mu'mineen, mother of believers, wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she reports that, "Look, we only had the right. She reports this, she narrates this, and these are the words of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu before he departed. He said to Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha that, look, we only had the right to benefit from these belongings as long as we were engaged in serving the Muslims. And after my death, send all of these to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After his passing, when Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha sent these items, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Abu Bakr, may Allah have mercy on you. You have put the ones who come after you into difficulty. Because Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he set an example of accountability, of amana, subhanallah. Look at his taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his sense of responsibility towards his people, towards the ummah, and the fear of accountability. That these three items that he had, which he would benefit from, before his passing away, he returned and he made a will to return all of this to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was the next Khalifa after him. Feeling the sense of responsibility that he had towards the people. And subhanallah, it was his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his great taqwa. Yes, his taqwa, even his taqwa is spoken about in the glorious Quran. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Before his caliphate, it was the practice of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he would help the weak and the needy. The girls of the neighborhood would bring their goats and he would milk their goats for them. Meaning, he would do anything and everything to help others. Subhanallah. He would be the helper and supporter in everything. Whenever anybody needed any help, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was there to help and aid them. And after he became the Khalifa, one of the girls said, now that you are going to become a Khalifa, you won't milk our goats, that means? And to that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so humbly he said that, why not? By Allah, I will continue my same practice of milking the goats which I used to do before. I hope that the position of caliphate will not change my previous habit of serving others. Subhanallah. At the time of the passing of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he advised Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and urged him to fear Allah. And he made this nasiha to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And this is the nasiha of the first Khalifa to the second Khalifa of Islam, that, O Umar, there is a right of Allah which is fulfilled at night, and he does not accept it in the day. And there is a right of Allah which is fulfilled during the day, and he does not accept it at night. Be certain that no voluntary act, nafl, is accepted until the obligatory duty, the fard, is fulfilled. Subhanallah. O Umar, have you not seen that on the day of resurrection, those whose scale of deeds are heavy, their scales become heavy because they followed the truth. And their scale of truth became heavy and they had a lot of weight. And when the scale contains only truth, it must indeed be very heavy. Subhanallah. And those whose scales are light, it is only because they followed falsehood. And falsehood made their scales light. And when a scale contains only falsehood, it must be really, really light. So these were some great words of wisdom that were conveyed from the first Khalifa to the second Khalifa. Subhanallah. Now, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu remained a supporter of deen with his wealth, and everything that he had, he spent for the sake of deen. Subhanallah. When he had embraced Islam, at that time, he had 40,000 dirhams in cash, all of which he spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to buy weak slaves from among the Muslims, those Muslim slaves who were weak. and he would set them free for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was, subhanallah, the great service of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what he would do with his money. Allahu Akbar. He would help the poor people, help the needy, feed the poor, subhanallah. If there is a need for any amount of money and financial assistance, he would be there first, subhanallah, with everything that he had. Allahu Akbar. With that money, he even purchased Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Umayyah bin Khalaf, the master of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would beat Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the hot burning sand of Arabia. And he would place large stones on Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the heat. And Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala would still not back away from his faith, from Iman. And he would still say Ahad. Subhanallah. When Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu in this condition, he purchased him from Umayyah bin Khalaf and then freed him. Allahu Akbar. During the Battle of Tabuk, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged to give donation and spend on this cause to strengthen the Islamic army. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought all of his wealth and gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he donated for the cause of Islam to uplift the deen of Allah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Have you left anything behind for your family?" He replied that, "I have left for them Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam," meaning he left nothing for his family. He brought everything for the sake of Allah and the beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the sacrifices of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and this is just a glimpse of it. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to visit Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu's house daily. And one day he arrived just before it was the time for migration. He arrived at a very unusual time, covering his face, and he said, "I wish to speak in private." Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied that only his family was there, nobody else was there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed him that he had been granted permission to migrate, to make hijrah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked to accompany him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they both went near a cave that is near the city of Makkah, and the name of that cave is the Cave of Thawr. So they went to the Cave of Thawr, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu even carried Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his back, and so no injury could be sustained by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to save him from the tricky pathways that are there, rocky terrain that were there, and he would stand on guard, subhanallah, looking everywhere, scouting everywhere. Everywhere he would advance, he would see, sometimes he would go in the front, sometimes he would go in the back, looking if an enemy was approaching. And in this state, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reached the Cave of Thawr with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And upon reaching the cave, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he entered first. And after he entered, he saw that the place wasn't clean, so he cleaned it. And he tore his clothes and blocked every hole that he found in the cave, because in the caves, in the desert areas, poisonous snakes are very common. And after he had covered every hole, he ran out of fabric. And in the cave, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after cleaning, then he welcomed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inside the cave. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wanted to rest, so he rested his head on Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu's lap. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this state, he fell asleep. And there was one hole remaining. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he put his foot on top of that hole. So nothing could come out of it and bite. And a snake, it wanted to come out. And the feet of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala were blocking the snake. So the snake bit the foot of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. To avoid disturbing the sleep of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala did not move from that place or made a sound, though tears they started rolling over his cheeks. And in that pain, one tear, it fell upon the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then woke up. He saw Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu in distress and applied his blessed saliva to the wound, which after applying the saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it healed immediately. And once Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked for water, and he was brought water mixed with honey. As he brought it to his mouth, he began to cry so uncontrollably. And people really became worried as to what happened. We offered him water, sweet water. There's honey mixed in it. And he's crying. So when he calmed down, people asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala the reason for this. And he replied that one day I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I saw him pushing something away, and he was saying, "Get away from me, get away from me." And I asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it that you were pushing away?" And he said that the world appeared before me in a physical form, so I pushed it away. But it said, the world said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Even if you escape me, those after you will not be able to do so." Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was recalling this incident. And then he said that I fear that I might become caught in its traps. Allah. The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially the Khulafa'i Rashidun, they were so upright and they led such a simple lifestyle. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Yet, look at the morals, the ethics, the teachings, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they would adhere to. This is what kept them victorious everywhere they would go, because they followed the sunnahs of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was extremely hospitable, and he once hosted guests from Ashabi Sufa, the poor companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He hosted them to feed them a meal, and he instructed his son Sayyidina Abdurrahman radiallahu ta'ala anhu to serve them dinner while Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had to go and attend to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the guests, they refused to eat until the host, meaning Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, returned from the meeting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was quite late when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came back home. And when he returned late and found that they hadn't eaten, he was upset with his son because he had given him the responsibility of feeding them. Eventually, they sat down to eat. And the Ashabi Sufa, they said, "No, it wasn't your son's fault. We insisted on not eating. We said we will wait for you and we'll eat together." Subhanallah. However, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came back and they sat down to eat, a miracle occurred. For every morsel that they took, the food underneath would increase even more. Subhanallah. There was so much of barakah in it. And they all ate to their fill. And there was more food left over than when they had started. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent the remaining food to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a gift. Allahu Akbar. During the final days and the final illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became weak and he was ill, and he was finding himself weak to lead the prayer. So he commanded to tell Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to lead the people in salah. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala suggested that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was soft-hearted, and it was suggested that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu could go for it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted firmly, and he insisted on Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was told about it, he asked Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to lead. But Sayyidina Umar replied, "You are more worthy, subhanallah." Thus, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu led the salah during the final days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt a bit better and came to the masjid, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, out of his humility, he stepped back, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam signaled him, gestured him to continue, subhanallah. This was his state and his station in the blessed eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the event of Al-Isra and Mi'raj, the night of ascension, took place, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was coming back from the journey of Mi'raj, he told people that he had taken the journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa and then to the seven heavens. The kuffar, the mushrikun, they mocked him. And they said, "How can it be? It takes us a month just to reach Jerusalem from here." They ran to Sayyidina Abu Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they said to him, "Your friend, he claims that he went to Jerusalem and came back in one night." Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "If he said that, then it is true. Subhanallah, I believe him in the news even greater than that, the news from the heavens that he gives me." Subhanallah. From that moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him that title of being a Siddiq, truthful. Subhanallah. In the early days of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to the Kaaba and stood to give a speech calling the polytheists to the path of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mushrikun, they attacked him so brutally that he was beaten until he lost his consciousness and was nearly killed. When he finally came to his senses, the very first words that he spoke was, "How is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" Allahu Akbar. On another occasion, it is mentioned Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala saw Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth wrapping his garment around the neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to strangle him while he was praying. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala rushed forward. He pushed Uqba away and then he cried out, "Would you kill a man just because he says, 'My Lord is Allah'?" Subhanallah. He always defended Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, always supported the cause of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always supported the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah azza wa jal, for now we have a wonderful kalam which we are going to listen to, and thereafter we have a madani pearl of wisdom as well, the nasiha. Let's go listen to the kalam and nasiha, and thereafter we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
فراق مدینہ میں دل غم زدہ ہے جگر ٹکڑے ٹکڑے ہوا جا رہا ہے چھڑا کر مدینہ میرا چین چین چھینا بتا نفس ظالم تجھے کیا ملا ہے بتا نفس ظالم
تجھے کیا ملا ہے دکھایا ہے دن یہ مقدر نے مجھ کو نہ شکوا کسی سے نہ کوئی گلا ہے میری آنکھ سے چھینا طیبہ کا منظر میری آنکھ سے چھینا طیبہ کا منظر یہ کس بات کا تو نے بدلا لیا ہے یہ کس بات کا تو نے بدلا لیا ہے رہوں بس اسی غم میں بے چین سرور مقدر نے جو داغ فرقت دیا ہے مقدر سے جس جا رہوں پر شغا ہو مقدر سے جس جا رہوں پر شغا ہو نظر میں مدینہ میری التجا ہے نظر میں مدینہ میری التجا ہے سکون تھا مجھے کوچے مصطفیٰ میں وطن میں میرا سب سکون لٹ گیا ہے میرے دل کے ارماں رہے دل ہی دل غم میرے دل کو تڑپا رہا ہے یہی غم میرے دل کو تڑپا رہا ہے نہ دنیا کی فکریں نہ غم تھا وہاں پر کے دل آفتوں میں گھرا ہے پہاڑوں کی دلکش قطاروں کے جلوے وہ منظر مجھے آج یاد آ رہا ہے انہیں چومنا ہاتھ لہرا کے پیغم انہیں چومنا ہاتھ لہرا کے پیغم وہ منظر مجھے آج یاد آ رہا ہے وہ منظر مجھے آج یاد آ رہا ہے عقیدت سے خاک مدینہ اٹھا کر اسے چومنا آج یاد آ رہا ہے، کبھی دید سرور کی حسرت میں منبر کو تک نہ وہ چھپ چھپ کے یاد آ رہا ہے، کبھی دیکھ کر سبز گنبد کا منظر، کبھی دیکھ کر سبز گنبد کا منظر، جھکانا نظر آج یاد آ رہا ہے، جھکانا نظر آج یاد آ رہا ہے، نہ چھوٹے میرے ہاتھ سے ان کا دامن، جب تلک یا خدا یہ دعا ہے، مہکتی ہے پیاری وہ جنت کی کیاری، وہاں بیٹھنا آج یاد آ رہا ہے، بچھڑ کر عبید سے، بچھڑ کر عبید رضا ان کے در سے، پریشان ہے خوار ہے غم زدہ ہے، پریشان ہے خار ہے غم زدہ ہے، فراق مدینہ میں دل غم زدہ ہے، جگر ٹکڑے ٹکڑے ہوا جا رہا ہے۔
In today's world, mental health has become a significant focus, affecting millions of people regardless of age, background, or belief. Now, stress, anxiety, depression, these struggles often weigh us down, leaving us feeling disconnected and lost. Islam emphasizes physical health and the health of our mind and soul. Mental health is as important as spiritual and physical well-being. The Holy Quran and the Blessed Sunnah guide us towards balance, peace, and understanding, offering remedies for both internal and external struggles. One of the most powerful verses in the Holy Quran is the verse that says, "Verily, in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find peace." This profound message reminds us that turning to Allah Almighty and engaging in acts of worship, such as salah, dua, and the recitation of the Holy Quran, this can bring a sense of tranquility and calm to our troubled hearts. From the Islamic perspective, our mental struggles can be seen as trials. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the greatest reward comes with the greatest trial. When Allah loves people, He tests them. These tests allow us to grow closer to Allah Almighty, seeking His help and mercy, while also building resilience and strength within ourselves. It's also important to remember that seeking help is a part of Islam. As emphasized, addressing mental health issues isn't a sign of weakness, but a recognition of our humanity. We are encouraged to seek support from medical professionals
or trusted individuals while continuing to rely on the guidance of Allah Almighty. Science confirms the wisdom of this approach. Now, studies have shown that regular prayer, mindfulness, and meditation, elements found in Islamic practice, have proven benefits for mental health. According to a study published by Harvard Medical School, mindfulness can significantly reduce stress, anxiety, and even symptoms of depression. Similarly, the World Health Organization recognizes the importance of community support, which Islam also highlights through the concept of ummah, meaning a collective responsibility to care for one another. Being part of a strong community, attending congregational prayers, and forming meaningful bonds can play a vital role in improving mental health. When we examine mental health through the lens of Islam, we see a path of hope, healing, and connection with Allah Almighty. Whether reciting the Quran, engaging in dhikr, or simply making time for self-reflection and dua, Islam offers ways to cope with life's challenges or reminding us to seek professional help. In times of difficulty, remember that Allah Almighty is always near. And let's take the steps necessary for our mental well-being by embracing spiritual and worldly solutions. May Allah Almighty grant us all peace of mind and strengthen our hearts through His love and mercy. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Salwa al-Habib, Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Subhanallah, we were listening to the beautiful kalam, and Subhanallah, now we are back. We were discussing the parables related to the great Khalifa of Islam, the first Khalifa of Islam, the first to have accepted the da'wah of Islam by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first to embrace Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. His title is Siddiq, as we have already learned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him this title of Siddiq, and his kunya and appellation is Abu Bakr. Subhanallah. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his another title is Atiq, the one who's freed from the fire. Siddiq means truthful, and Siddiq, Atiq, is freed. And it is mentioned regarding him that Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha was asked, how was the blessed appearance of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu? And she said, his complexion was fair, his body was slender, and his cheeks were not fleshy. He would tie his lower garment tightly at the waist to stop it from dangling. The veins of his face were clearly visible. Likewise, the veins on the back of his palms could be seen clearly. Whilst mentioning the order of the companions in terms of excellence and the status according to the correct creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that all of the companions, the superior and the lower ranked ones, and there is no low ranking one among them, are dwellers of paradise. After the prophets and messengers alayhim assalam, the highest ranking personality within the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the humans, jinns, and angels is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who is followed by Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, then Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and then Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And after the four rightly guided khalifs, superiority belongs to the rest of the Ashara Mubashara, then Imam Hassan and Hussein, and the participants of Badr and those of Bayatul Ridwan radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And they are all dwellers of paradise. So we say, Ashabi Nabi, Jannati Jannati. The meaning of superiority is that they have more honor and status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is interpreted as an abundance of reward as well. Subhanallah, Mustafa ke sab sahaba jannati hain la jaram, sab se razi haq ta'ala, sab pe hai uska karam. And the devotees of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we love all the Sahaba of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the Sahaba, they are the beacon of guidance for us. And at the end, let's inshallah azza wa jal recite some beautiful verses of the Holy Quran, where the attribute and the praises of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu have been mentioned by Allah Almighty Himself. It is mentioned in Surah Al-Layl, verses 17 to 21, and very soon he will be kept far away from it, meaning from hell. The one who is most pious, who gives his wealth in order to become pure, and no one has done a worldly favor to him, for which recompense may be given in return. He desires only the pleasure of his Lord, who is most high, and indeed, soon he will be very pleased. Subhanallah, a pious predecessor from 800 years ago. The Quranic commentators, rahimahumullah ta'ala, are unanimous that this verse was revealed about the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon him and forgive us all without accountability for his sake. Ameen. بجاه النبي الأمين صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم.
Islamic parables, timeless and bright, springing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.